You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily podcast on the Toronto Blue Jays, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to Locked On Blue Jays, your semi-daily dose of Toronto Blue Jays talk directly into your headspace. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ryan Andrews from JaysFromTheCouch.com. I am sick. My loving partner has blessed me with the sick that I've been battling all week, which has just been really fun and really conducive to, you know, me talking to a half an hour with y'all. But I'm going to attempt it. I apologize if I end up sneezing on the track. I'll do my best not to. But as I attempt to drink plenty of fluids and combat this thing, we have to talk about some arrivals and some departures that have hit the Blue Jays over the past few days, going back to the last episode that we released. So we're going to talk about the new member of the bench staff that was brought in last week as I sniffle there. And we're going to talk about the players who have left via, you know, declaring their free agency. We'll talk about them, give you a roundup of who will not be an option for the Blue Jays moving forward. And there are a lot of them, and there's one in particular that we're going to spend a little bit more time talking about than the others, more than likely. If you listen to the Jays from the Couch radio podcast, I was able to get on to that one and talk with Sean Doyle and Ryan Miller about Blue Jays happenings. So we do have a bit to expand from there. So we will do that. But we will start by going through who has left the team. The Blue Jays did make some 40-man roster moves last week. So we'll talk about them first. We'll go through, talk about how much it really impacts what the team is going to do. And we'll start with the two guys coming off the 60-day DL and rejoining the roster. That would be Troy Tulowitzki and Brandon Drury. Obviously, Blue Jays fans can't really say, yay, they're back. They haven't really done much in the last season. Obviously, Troy Tulowitzki missing all of 2018 with the bone spurs in his heel, the ankle injuries. He looks like an operation board at this point. I'm pretty sure he suffered from butterflies in the stomach. So it's hard to really say what Troy Tulowitzki is going to mean going forward, as opposed to just being that $20 million figure on the payroll. It will be interesting to see how he approaches spring training, how he approaches this offseason, since he's essentially been rehabbing the entire year. Will he be able to go into the offseason and begin to work on his game again, try and get back to the level that he was when he first arrived in Toronto? I'm not even asking for all-star Troy Tulowitzki in Colorado. I'm just asking for the 2016 version before he got hurt, when, you know, the playoffs were still in the picture. And that will help him going forward. Brandon Drury, at this point, he's probably going to be starting third baseman next year, at least coming out of spring training. How long he lasts in that role will remain to be seen. Probably be a couple weeks. I think everyone knows why. But yeah, so Brandon Drury comes back on. He'll be excited to, you know, not be in New York and kind of show what he can do next season. And then there are a lot of departures that we are going to go through. These were compiled over the past month, really, but it's just good to go through to let people know who's going to be there, who's not going to be there. So we'll start by just running through some of the minor league free agents who aren't going to be there. Mike Hochschild, the star of that six-inning performance in Seattle, where he was like the star for one day and then immediately turned back into Mike Hochschild. He's gone. Free agency. Darnell Sweeney, who got in like one game, he's gone. Brandon Compton, who was a free agent signing midseason, got into one game. He's out. John Birdie declared free agency after being removed from the 40-man roster. Luis Santos is a free agent. That's an interesting one because he's still young, and I think the Blue Jays still had hopes of maybe trying to hone that fastball a little bit. But he's currently a free agent. Preston Guillemette, don't miss him. He's gone. Go back to Japan, probably for the best. Marco Estrada and Tyler Clippard, we all knew they were free agents, so that's nothing surprising there. Then Craig Breslow is a free agent. Obviously, he's not the next manager, so he's out. Murphy Smith, who made his debut this season, he declared free agency. Zach Stewart, who signed at the same time as Brandon Compton. Matt Tracy, who signed in the offseason, didn't get much of a chance to do anything. He was injured most of the season as well. He declared free agency. And then we get to the three more relevant ones. Reiner Cruz was removed from the 60-day DL and declared free agency as well. Not a shock. He is a journeyman at this point. He showed well enough in his two appearances this year that he'll probably get another minor league contract somewhere else. Maybe back with the Blue Jays, but it's honestly not surprising to see him leave the organization for now. Then Taylor Guerrieri also declared free agency. A little more surprising. Guerrieri hadn't really gotten to the arb point of his career, and he did all right enough. He looked like he could have been a part of that strategy we talked about the Blue Jays looking for these former starters who can maybe shift into a relieving role. Guerrieri started doing that when he was called up for September baseball last year, but he wasn't spectacular. He had a 4.66 ERA, only had 8 strikeouts in 9 2/3 innings. You would expected a little more from a guy who was thought of so highly. He was a former first-round pick. So, it's not surprising that he would elect free agency. Just would have expected a little more out of him, so we'll see what happens with Guerrieri. He'll probably latch on and get a minor league deal somewhere else. And then, probably the biggest name so far that, elected free agency, let's say that, was Jake Petrichka. And when we talked about the ARB-eligible Blue Jays who were coming up, Petrichka was one that I said I would not be surprised if they declined the arbitration offer on Petrichka and just made him a free agent. Because while Petrichka showed some stuff that did make him enticing, he didn't show it nearly enough. He wasn't consistent with his pitches. There would be some days when his fastball would look so good. It would look like that screwball. It would just go wherever and would look really nice. But then there are other days when just he could not keep anything down and it just started getting golfed out of the park. A 4.53 ERA, a 1.64 whip. I think that's a bigger number to focus on with Petrichka because he just got hit hard and they were finding holes in that Blue Jays infield. And that's not what you want to be as a ground ball pitcher. So he'll likely do the same thing he did with the Blue Jays, come to terms on a minor league deal, hope to make the team out of spring training. He could do it again with the Blue Jays, but I'm not sure that's the best option for either side. I think the Blue Jays are going to get more of a look at the younger guys, and Petrichka will have to find a deal elsewhere. I keep proposing Miami because, I mean, Miami's got to find, like, everyone because that roster is bad. But, yeah, which all those guys, the best of luck. Some of them might be back with the Blue Jays. Some of them might not. Well, more than likely won't. There are 29 other teams out there. But we're going to talk about the biggest name that declared free agency and one that got Blue Jays fans up in arms when it happened right after this break. Okay, there we go. Blew my nose. Feeling slightly better. Still sound like garbage. I did tease that we were going to talk about one move that got Blue Jays fans up in arms. We are going to talk about a couple other moves right quick. Justin Schaefer was part of that 40-man purge that saw Guerrieri, Cruz, Petrichka all leave. Schaefer cleared waivers, was officially outrighted to Buffalo, and that is great news for the Blue Jays because I think Schaefer was a surprise outright off the 40-man. He pitched very well in his time with the Blue Jays. when he got called up in September. 3.24 ERA and eight and a third innings, but the WHIP was high. It was a 1.56 WHIP, and he allowed a lot of his inherited runners to score. Also had 7 walks and 8 1/3 innings. That's probably what kept him from being claimed in the way that Jose Fernandez was. And that stung a little bit for the Blue Jays to lose a young left-hander like that in Fernandez. He got claimed by the Tigers, who need all the bullpen help that they can get. So Fernandez goes to Detroit. It's a bit of a hit. Fernandez did all right in his time. He was definitely better in the minor leagues for the Blue Jays as opposed to what he was able to do at the major league level. Started great for the Blue Jays. Eventually got into 13 games worth of action, but you could see near the end of the month as teams were starting to figure out what Fernandez had to offer. Even with that high fastball as a lefty, it just started getting engulfed, and you could see his ERA start to climb up as the Rays just pummeled him. He gave up 6 runs in a string of four appearances with the Rays, but he only had 1 scoreless outing against them, and he only got 1 out during that outing. He gave up 6 runs in 3 innings against Tampa Bay, and that kind of doomed him from a 40-man standpoint, at least. He got passed by Tim Mesa. Well, Tim Mesa was already ahead of him, but he got passed, I think, in many eyes by Travis Bergen, who did very well with New Hampshire this season and might have an outside shot at making the Blue Jays bullpen next year. He's a lefty from Georgia who was almost spotless with New Hampshire after getting called up. A 0.5 ERA is going to play very well wherever you go. So Bergen's probably going to start next year in Buffalo, and if he looks good, he might become that shuttle guy. Tim Mesa is going to be locked into a role in that Blue Jays bullpen next year, so Bergen might be a guy added to the 40-man who can start shuttling. And obviously the Blue Jays can go a few different ways with the 40-man roster space that they cleared. More than likely, it's going to be pitching. Hector Perez needs to be covered. John Harris needs to be covered. Patrick Murphy needs to be covered. So there are guys that need to be put on. But one guy who took himself out of the running for a 40-man slot was Harold Ramirez, the outfielder for New Hampshire, who elected free agency as opposed to sticking around in New Hampshire. And this was the one who, when I was on Jays from the Couch Radio, I talked about with Miller and Doyle about what that really meant going forward. And a lot of fans were upset that how could we let Ramirez go? He's a 320 hitter and he had, you know, 70 RBI. He looked really good in New Hampshire. How could we let him go like that? Well, first of all, Ramirez was already on the 40 man. He got added on when the Blue Jays made that deal to acquire Francisco Liriano, and he got removed already. So it's not like he's that high in the organization's mind to begin with. Second of all, this is the first time he's shown anything at that level. Prior to the previous season, he batted .266. He had no power. He only had 6 home runs. And Ramirez was thought of as a guy who could be someone who delivers that kind of 20 home run power. He wasn't showing it near enough prior to this season. And even this season, you wonder how much of that was just protection he got from other bats in the lineup, from your Kevin Biggios, from your Bo Bichettes, from your Vlad Juniors. And going forward, is Ramirez a guy who you can say, okay, he's going to go to AAA Buffalo next year and he's going to hit there? You can't make that prediction with him, and you can't afford to waste a 40-man spot on him. And more than likely, a position player is not going to get claimed anyway. If you look at the list of Rule 5 picks, most of the ones that stick around are pitchers. You have the rare instance where a team that knows it's going to be bad, like Detroit, will take a guy like Victor Reyes and just bury him on the roster the entire season just so they get to keep his rights. That's what they did with him this year, and he was atrocious. He added nothing for Detroit. But because Detroit was so bad, they could afford to just stash him on their bench and just keep the rights to him. There was going to be no threat of that with Harold Ramirez. He does not have that kind of skill set that Victor Reyes has. Like, Max Pentecost was more likely to be protected than Ramirez. So the fact that Ramirez left, and this is another thing that we talked about on the podcast, was Miller said it doesn't preclude him from coming back. Now, so far in the Venezuelan League, Ramirez went down to Venezuela to play in the winter. He's having a good campaign down there. He's batting .351 in 23 games in Venezuela. Still not showing the power, but he's showing contact. And, you know, you can remake yourself a little bit like that, but he's got to get better defensively. And, you know, more often than not, he could end up back in Toronto. Will he be back in Buffalo? Don't know. Will he stick around in New Hampshire? Who knows? But more than likely, Ramirez would be amenable to coming back to the organization. He's just, you know, seeing what's out there. Someone can give him like a shot at making a major league roster next year, he's going to take it. Speaking of the major league roster, the staff moves that were made so far this month are exciting. And while one is disappointing to lose, the other is potentially a key to the future success of this team. And we will talk about it right after this break. All right. I've drained that tea and honey. So hopefully that gives me enough to get through this final segment on today's Locked On Jays episode. We're going to talk about the staff, and in continuing the theme of additions and subtractions, a couple of coaches were subtracted from the Blue Jays. It was announced that hitting coach Brooke Jacoby is officially done, as is first base coach Tim Leeper. And again, we talked about this on the Jays from the Couch radio podcast. Leaper's probably the one that affects fans more, because coming in like that, just the personality that he brought to the team, it hurts the Blue Jays more to lose him as opposed to a guy like Jacoby, who just took all the guff from Blue Jays fans the past couple seasons. So it's not surprising to see either of them leave. When you have a guy like Charlie Montoyo coming in, who wants to take the opportunity to work with the front office and build his own staff, it was natural that a lot of the people who were around were going to be jettisoned. And it was almost confirmed that DeMarlo Hale will be the third person leaving that staff, with the announcement that the Blue Jays had made a hire, and it was Dave Hudgens to take over as the new bench coach of the team. Now, Dave Hudgens was the hitting coach for the Houston Astros for the past four seasons. Veteran hitting coach, worked with the Mets, worked with Oakland well back in the day, back in the time of Jason Giambi with Oakland. So he's a veteran guy, has a lot of positive things on his resume. Like the past four seasons in Houston, you know, working with guys like Jose Altuve, George Springer, Carlos Correa, Alex Bregman, you know, these are high quality guys, well developed youth players. And if Hudgens, like, he is the bench coach, but it's expected that he will have some role in the hitting as well, working with whoever is hired as the hitting coach. So to bring in a guy like that, to steal from a winning organization again, Houston, you know, it's thought of that Joe Espada was attractive because he comes from that winning organization, because he brings that kind of mentality. Toronto basically got what they could have gotten out of Espada, but they add it to the analytics and the veteran presence and the savvy that Charlie Montoyo brings. It's a strong start to the offseason for the Blue Jays, getting a couple hires like this. And, you know, you get to say this now and be like, oh, it's a savvy hire. We really don't know. Only time will tell. But at this point, from what we know about Dave Hudgens, a guy who, again, has this track record of success, seems to be personable as well. When Ross Atkins was talking about him in the introductory press conference, he mentioned just how personable he was, how he was going to fit into the culture there. Just a wealth of experience. Again, this is another veteran hire for this coaching staff. And it, you know, it's not to say Atkins isn't familiar with Hudgens. Hudgens did work for Cleveland for a little bit from 2006 to 2010. So it's not like he's entirely foreign to this front office. But when you have that kind of experience he has, when you have that track record of success, that's something that you can tangibly point to the Blue Jays and say that this is something that's going to be brought in. Because there could be a long stretch of time. It could be a long growth period. I talked to someone when I was at the grocery store the other day, someone who saw I had my Blue Jays toque on, this comes up. It's like, yeah, Blue Jays, they're not going to be good for a while. I'm like, well, it depends on how Vlad hits the ground running. He's like, nah, with the way they're set up, it's going to be like 4 years before they get back into contention. And you know, I had all my stuff bagged up at that point, so I wanted to get out to the car before the ice cream melted. So I'm just like, we'll have to see. But I do think that's a bit too much on the pessimistic side of things for the Blue Jays. I think they can come back around a lot quicker than 4 years. I'm not expecting 2022 is when they're going to be in the middle of their window. They're going to be, you know, having everyone up with the club. They're going to be a threat for a World Series. But as for, you know, being a team that is competitive on the field, I think that comes a lot quicker. I think that's 2 years for that. And I think they build on that. They start winning in like 2020, 2021, and they start having more success then. I don't think it's going to be that pessimistic. And I think, you know, having a guy like Dave Hudgens come in is just fortifying my belief that growth will come quickly for this club and it will be a more competitive organization sooner as opposed to latter. So to the nameless guy at the grocery store, just, you know, get a little more optimistic. I think the Blue Jays are going to be better than that. And hopefully, you know, you guys can remain optimistic about the coverage you are getting here at Locked On Blue Jays throughout the offseason. We will continue to have episodes for y'all talking about whatever Blue Jays come in and out that door, whatever you guys want to talk about. If you want to get in touch with us, hit us up on Twitter at Locked On Jays. Hit me up on Twitter at NeoAC18. That's NeoAC18. I will sound a lot better on there because I don't have to talk with a stuffy nose. And yeah, just you know, follow us on there. Make sure you don't miss it because we'll continue to tweet out when the episodes are in, when we're going to have more fan questions. So keep tuned into that. And we can continue this dialogue throughout the cold winter months that are starting to roll in. Because and this solemn Remembrance Day, which, you know, I hope you all paid your respects, got the poppies out. I can tell you for a fact that Christmas decorations are already going up in my home. And I did not lead the charge on that, but it's coming. It's winter is coming. So we'll do our best to, you know, keep each other warm with the thoughts of spring training to come. So for everyone here at the Locked On Podcast Network and Locked On Blue Jays, I've been Ryan Andrews. Thank you all so much for listening to today's episode, and y'all take care.